Well, I want to say hi to everybody at all of our campuses, people joining us online, everybody here in this room. I'm so thrilled you're here. We're at the end of this long journey. For the last 8 months, we've been studying together the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to do this weekend what the very first listeners did after Jesus finished his sermon. We're told at the end of Matthew, the 7th chapter, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed. So this is Be Amazed at Jesus Weekend. And we're going to, if you've never been to church before and you're here maybe as a witness to somebody that's getting baptized and you're not sure how church works, this is very celebratory, very informal. We're going to listen to stories of lives that God has been changing over these last months. We're going to review together some of what we have learned through the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be witnesses to baptisms. At last count that I heard, we have over 70 people being baptized in all of our campuses, at all of our services. And that's just thrilling. That's people identifying publicly with Jesus and quite courageously saying, now, I will follow this man. And if you've never seen a baptism before, this is your chance to learn about that. And if you have, if you know what that's about, this is your chance to really encourage people who are taking this step. For me personally, this last year, going through the Sermon on the Mount, has been by far the richest, deepest, most meaningful, most joy-filled, most life-changing experience of preaching that I have ever had. And partly because it's been an era in my life when I have never needed God more. And I don't know if you ever feel needy when it comes to God. I have often felt this last year like a character in an old Bill Murray movie called What About Bob? None of you will have seen that movie, but it's a character who just says, I need, I need, I need, I need. And I know what it is to need God. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about these amazing topics. Who is it that's blessed, that has the good life? And what is a truly good person? And what does it mean that you can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and that with a father like the one that Jesus describes watching over you, you never need to worry? Last Christmas, we were looking at life in the kingdom and how Jesus offers to be our good shepherd. And a woman at our Mountain View campus was very moved by that message and by a painting that Mark Garner on our staff did that pictures Jesus as the good shepherd. And so you got to hear her story.
I realized that I was at a place in my life leading up to Christmas that I was weary. I could not pray the weariness away. I couldn't praise the weariness away. There was nothing from my end that I could do. Come to me and I will give you rest. That's what the Lord says. And I'm like, okay, when is this going to happen? On Christmas Eve at the service at Mountain View campus, John gave his sermon about the shepherd, and I love that idea of Jesus being our shepherd and his invitation to follow him. Then when they went to the video painting this picture of the shepherd, it was just in that moment where I knew that God was just, he was affirming that he is my shepherd and that I am his sheep. And it was that affirmation and then an invitation all at once. As soon as the service was over, I was like, I have to find who did that painting. I had emailed to my friend Angeline what God did in the service, and she texted me and she said, you're going to be at Mothers Together this morning, aren't you? And I said, oh no, I'm not. And she said, you need to be at Mountain View at 11 o'clock. On the drive over, I was wondering, what is it? Why is she so, you know, wanting me to be there at that time? And I remember that John and Nancy were speaking that morning. As I was getting close to the campus, all of a sudden it was like, oh, it's the shepherd. And And so I knew that when I walked up there, I just, that's what I thought was going to happen. I don't think I can explain how much I so needed that generosity, and I couldn't believe it. Even though God had said, the shepherd, he's coming. We've lived in this house for 18 years, and we've never hung anything over the table there. I was like, of course that's where it's going. I knew that's where God was saying, put the painting there. What God did, he changed the spiritual atmosphere in my kitchen. And I think in me, I'm a watcher over my family, knowing that the shepherd is watching over me, and that's what that painting in there just tells me every day. I stand behind the stovetop and I cook, and I look up and there's the shepherd watching over his sheep. When I'm facing challenges through the day, or I feel like life is just, I'm in the thick of the battle, at any moment, God is just going to, he's gonna enter in. And that's what Jesus did on Christmas Eve. The Emmanuel, God with us. And I think that's what God did in me on the Christmas Eve service. I'm here, don't be afraid, I'm with you. This is who I am and this is who you are. Follow me.
And the chance to go down to Mountain View and just watch the joy and the way that God has been at work in Cheryl's life as she watches over her family was unforgettable for Nance and me. And to think together as a church that Jesus wants to be your good shepherd. And I hope that you have let him. And if you haven't yet, you can do that anytime. You can do it right now. Part of the genius of the Sermon on the Mount is the ability the words of Jesus have to change anybody's life, whether you're young or old, whether you're rich or poor, whether you think that you're educated or uneducated, religious or not religious. We got a card during the Sermon on the Mount series from somebody who was asking for prayer. He said, I would like you to pray for me to learn how to do the golden rule, Gabe, age 7. And then we learned about how Jesus said, why do you get judgmental and look at the speck in somebody else's eye when there's a plank in your own? And a lot of us filled out planks, problems we have ourselves. And Gabe did that also. He said, take away my unkind words, please. And if you could see the rest of that shirt, it's actually a Cubs shirt. Gabe is a Cubs fan, so he's on a great path spiritually. another story of somebody who had been real far away from God and then came home is amazing for its honesty and its courage, and that's the kind of community we want to be. So take a look at this one.
I wanted to be Superwoman. God wasn't asking me to be Superwoman. He was asking me to just be his daughter. And I wanted to be, I don't know, more than that. I wanted to be God or something like that. That is what caused my episode, is me trying to be Superwoman. I was sleeping about 3 hours a night. I was eating about one ramen noodle a day. What they say is like all parts of my brain were firing all at the same time. And that can only happen for so long before your brain shuts down. When I got out of the hospital, I had friends and family who were waiting for me and wanted me back. And I wasn't ready for their forgiveness. I couldn't go back yet. So I went and I stayed at a homeless shelter. And everybody there had such a solid foundation and faith that when they reached out their hand to me and I grabbed it, it was something I had never experienced before. I'd never experienced the strength of God so deeply that when I felt it, I was like, this is the direction I'm supposed to go in. And I've never been more sure of anything in my life. God gives us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. Tomorrow, I get a chance to fix it and I get a chance to be a better person. When I was staying at the homeless shelter, I began calling my family and friends, and there were bridges I thought I had burned beyond recognition, but people were still there for me and they were full of forgiveness and they were full of hope. And they were saying, come back, we forgive you. And like, we want to try this again. I didn't know that I had such unconditional love in my life through my family, through my friends, and that love comes from God. I moved back in with my mom and I was like, I need to go to church. And she said, there's this church right around the corner. I kind of go off and on. And it's the church you were baptized at. And I was like, yes, let's go. When I first came to Menlo, I felt this warm sense of community. Wow, everybody knows each other and everybody's friends and everybody's smiling. You're like, how do I get to be a part of that? I'm ready to start owning all of my decisions, the good and the bad. Every day I want to put God first. I feel reborn and I get a new chance, a new beginning. And this will just symbolize what I'm already feeling. And I just want God to know and everybody else to know I'm recommitting to my faith.
So can we just celebrate Colette's courage and honesty for a moment? Because I just... You need to know wherever you have been, you can come home to God. And that's why we exist as a church, is to be a place, a family where everybody can come home and where everybody needs God and where everybody can just get honest about how much they need God. And that's why we're here. During this last year, we launched South City Campus in South San Francisco. And there are now over 300 people that are finding community, worshiping God up in South City every single weekend. I was up there a couple of months ago. We were doing Starting Point. It's a several-week class for people that are new to our church. And because it's a brand-new campus, I thought there'd be 10 or 15 people. And there were like 50 people there. And one of the young couples came up and said, Pastor John, we're so excited that the church is here. God is changing our lives. We're going to get married to each other. We're surrendering our lives to Him. Tell everybody thank you for bringing this church here. This last Tuesday, this past week, I want everybody to know our elders voted to move forward with exploring partnering with Walnut Creek Presbyterian Church in the East Bay to establish a Menlo Church campus at Walnut Creek. And there are still more steps involved, more prayer and consideration, and there'll be a discernment process and a vote on the Walnut Creek side. But we are so honored to be on this journey together with them and so excited to see what does God want to do and how can we be a part of that. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that people were to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And we want to be a part of that. We have six campuses right now. What if, in an age where we keep hearing about the decline of the church, what if we had thriving congregations all over the Bay Area, every 15 or 20 minutes or so, little cities on a hill that cannot be hid, that help to bring, thank you, Mom, that help to bring the light of the world, that is Jesus, to the most unchurched metropolitan area in the United States. How cool would that be? And when you pray, when you give, when you invite, when you serve the way that you do, you're a part of that. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, ask and it will be given. Why don't you ask? Seek and you will find. Why don't you seek? Knock and it will be. Why didn't you knock? This year, another note that I really treasure came a couple of months ago, and I want to just read this one to you. Okay? This came right around Christmas time. Over 30 years ago, I received this rose over 30 years ago at church at Menlo, with instructions to pray faithfully and expectantly to God about something important to me. I was 3 months pregnant when my husband requested a divorce so he could pursue a different lifestyle. My prayer since that time has been for a life partner and teammate to enjoy the rest of life with. We were to return the rose to church when our prayer was answered one way or another. I've had a happy life as a single mom, but tonight, I am returning this rose as a newlywed. Thank you, Lord. 30 years later. So, how many people here have ever prayed for something and not gotten what you wanted right away? Anybody ever have that experience? Anybody think that you might be a little tempted to give up after 30 years? And Jesus says, pray and do not give up. And we get to be a part of that. Jesus would talk about how now we're living in the reality that is unseen, and that is the kingdom of God. And to follow Jesus means to seek that kingdom above all else, to come to depend on God and God's love, no matter what's going on in our lives. One form of prayer that we spent about a month on this year is called the Serenity Prayer. And I actually, these days, literally every morning when I wake up, the first thing I do is kneel on the side of the bed and just start by praying those words. And God really can use those words to change your life. And if you don't believe that, watch this video and listen to what God is doing.
My God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Came to America, had a great success in my career. Life was really going the way I wanted, right? And I felt like I was running the show, but I wasn't really good with the love, the touch, that family. I was living a very lonely life. With all the loneliness, alcohol was a great friend, you know? But eventually you got to pay the price for addiction. I started losing more and more. I lost my family. I've kind of lost my business. I've lost my purpose. I was very resentful, remorse. Then all of a sudden, I couldn't navigate anywhere else to go. I didn't feel like living, you know? All my life, I've been labeled, okay, I'm Santosh, I'm a software architect, software engineer, I'm from this university, I have this house, and what's my purpose? What am I doing here? One day I thought I should wear a cross on my chest, I didn't even know what it is. And I was wearing this chain, I was drunk at the bar, I threw away my wallet, credit cards, everything. This cross was there in my jacket. They took me to an emergency. And that time I looked at this cross, oh my God, I'm going to die, I want to see my son, you know? What can you do? That's when I felt maybe I should try something. So I tried Buddhism, I tried Jainism, then I tried Islam. Then finally, my friend in AA said, why don't you come to Menlo Church at San Mateo? I told him there is no God, there's no Jesus, I don't believe in all those things, don't try to. He said, why don't you just come in? The moment I entered, I saw people were singing song, you know, the guitar. I said, that's interesting. I didn't know you can rejoice, you can joyfully praise the Lord just by singing. I didn't believe at that moment there's real God or anything, but at least I knew I had a good time, you know. The time for that 1 hour, John, he made Bible very simple. And those kind of analogy and the metaphor made logical sense. And then I started kind of believing in, I thought, let me give it a try. The first thing I did was I joined a life support group. That was a major, major decision I made in my life. My life support group said, like, you know what? There is a program called Alpha Retreat. You must go there. There's one phrase changed my life. It says, fill with the Holy Spirit, you know, get intoxicated with the Holy Spirit, not with a glass of wine. You don't need alcohol. Something sparkled inside me saying that I do have a hope that I can live a life of fulfillment. The Alpha program really, really, for a beginner like me, who have no idea what Jesus. But here's a person who came and who died, and yet he forgave. Wow. That's when I have to close my eyes. I just said, I come here before you just as I am. I repent for all my sins. Please forgive me. Please forgive me because I knew you died on the cross for all the sins you've already been paid. After the Alpha retreat, it was a turning point in my life. My own son says, Daddy, I love you. He feels the change. How loving a father can I be? Ever since I came to church service, there is a prayer group. They don't know me. They come, they touch, and they pray. They pray from their heart, and they cry for you, you know? That, those tears, it's a tears of love, tears of compassion, tears of kindness. That kind of a tear, where would you get? You cannot get out, you cannot fake the tear, and that is a miracle. Since I was a loner all my life, ever since I came to Christianity, it's my family. I look at myself in the mirror as I am, just as I am. I don't have the labels of arrogance. I don't have to worry about who I am. Nothing, because God forgiven me. And moment knowing somebody forgiven me, I forgive myself. It's an amazing feeling, you know. Life changes. How can I not believe in Jesus?
That's the smile of somebody who's found hope. Jesus bring hope 2,000 years after he gave this message. And this weekend in San Mateo, Santos is getting baptized. So San Mateo, when he does, you guys go crazy. And just let him know how thrilled you are. Now, it's just a little tiny glimpse at some of what God has been doing over these last 8 months as we have sat under Jesus' magnificent teaching, the most impactful talk in the history of the world, the Sermon on the Mount. So now, after 8 months of doing this, we are all done with the Sermon on the Mount. We have drained it dry. We have mastered the content. We have downloaded every possible correct interpretation. We never have to look at the Sermon on the Mount again, right? Not at all. Not at all. Remember, this is a community where nobody is perfect. We are the pigeon group. We offer remedial discipleship for the spiritually inadequate. We celebrate the recognition and confession of spiritual inadequacy. Every one of them on our own will be real far from God. So we're a place where we get to be a part of bringing up there, down here, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. And then as we learned this last year from another young woman named Holly, who is part of AA, which often meets in the basements and lives on stale Chips Ahoy cookies, but gets real raw and honest in ways that sometimes churches where they worship don't. We want to bring the basement, the life change, the raw honesty, we want to bring down there up here. So that's what we're going to do. And the invitation at the end of this series is decide you will be a Sermon on the Mount person. A golden rule following, salt of the earth spreading, light of the world shining, other cheek turning, second mile going, kingdom first seeking, non-judging, one day at a time, narrow gate entering, good tree fruit bearing, house on the rock, disciple of this man. Read this sermon again and again and again regularly for the rest of your life. Revel in its goodness. Come to love the words. Come to love the one that spoke the words and do what he actually said. And now we're going to finish this series just the way that we started it by listening to now a review of the Sermon on the Mount. I was trying to think about how to review it, and I wrote kind of a summary. I've never had this happen before. I've been preaching a long time, never had this happen. I couldn't actually say the words that I wrote nearly well enough for them to get communicated well. So we've actually asked a friend, Greg Stewart, and he's going to come and actually say kind of a final review of the Sermon on the Mount, and I want you to revel in these words. So everybody, would you welcome Greg as he comes to do that?
Blessed are the poor and the sore and the meek. Blessed are the pure, the unsure, and the weak. Blessed are the short. Blessed are the slow. Blessed are the dropped outs, the washed outs, the burned outs, and left outs. Blessed are you when people disrespect you, disregard you, disinvite you. Blessed are the dissed. Be glad, very glad. You are living the dream, which is mostly unseen. Things are not what they seem. Seek first the kingdom of God. You are the salt of the earth. Don't lose the savor. You are the light of the world. Let it shine. Live in such a way that when people look at you, they say, what a good God God must be to have thought up such a person. But do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to steal them. I have come to fulfill them. The law is not the source of goodness, but it is forever the course of goodness. Take this from me. Unless your goodness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not live in the kingdom of God. You will forever be trapped in the kingdom of self. Conventional wisdom says, so long as you haven't killed anyone today, you've obeyed the command not to murder. But take it from me. Anger will murder you. Leave it at the altar. Your heart will be an altar, or your heart will be altered by anger into a factory of hate. Conventional wisdom says, sexual purity is a matter of avoiding wrong actions. Cut off your hands, pluck out your eyes, achieve spiritual maturity by sufficient dismemberment of your bodily parts. Or you could let me change your heart. Give you a new start. Take over each part. I can change the course of your divorce. Let's rearrange the source of your discourse. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Every spin or sin comes from down below. You dig? Conventional wisdom says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I say, turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. Give the shirt off your back. Conventional wisdom says, love the lovers, hate the haters. But hate will choke. Hate will break. The Father loves. That's sun for everyone. Rain for everyone. Love leads. Love gives. Love suffers. Love bleeds. Be like that. Do not practice your righteousness in front of others to be approved by them. It's an affliction. It's an addiction. You will become fiction. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. Outsource your generosity to your habits, making giving like tying a tie when tying your shoes. It's not even news. Let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Secret is real. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They want to be seen. They want to look good. They want applause, which is a lost cause. Unseen, unknown, in secret, alone. He's near. He hears. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When you forgive other people, if you forgive other people, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you do not, he will not. When you're fasting, live like you're feasting. Don't advertise, disguise. Make the good an inside job and it'll sneak out when you're not looking. That's the reward. Who you become from your Father, who is unseen in the kingdom which you seek first. Therefore, do not store up treasures for yourself on earth. Take a lesson from the junkyard, rust, moth, thief. Put your money where your mouth is. Your heart will follow. Greed is hollow. One master, only one. Who will it be? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or drink, your body, what you shall wear. Look at the birds of the air. No ulcers, no colitis, no high blood pressure, no MBAs, yet they're all fed by Chef God. Look at the lilies of the field. No labor, no spinning, but they're all Kardashian and GQ and Nature Chic. Will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. I wouldn't worry. However, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry. Seek first the kingdom of God and his true inner goodness, and everything else comes a la carte, one day at a time. I wouldn't worry. But judge not, lest you be judged. Your measure will become your treasure. Remember the speck in the plank. Remember the pearl in the pig. Help the pig. Save the pearl. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This is how the universe works. This is how you honor people's kingdoms without judging or planking or pearling or condemnation engineering. If those who are evil know how to give good gifts, imagine the Father. Ask the Father. Trust the Father. Love the Father. Thank the Father. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This is the Bible in a tweet. In the beginning was a tweet, and the tweet was with God, and the tweet was God, and the tweet became flesh and twittered a while among us. Will you be my hashtag disciple? Will you intend to do what I say? Will you obey? Will you be with me to learn from me how to become like me? Enter through the narrow gate. Follow, surrender. Live as I would if I were you. Revel in obedience. The broad way is to do anything else. Following the herd, ignoring my word, letting your heart be unwashed, uncured. Will you be my disciple? By their fruit, you will know them. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Will you be my disciple? Many will say to me on that day, to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we do impressive things, lead impressive lives, and die shiny deaths? And I will say plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. Will you be my disciple? Everyone is building a house with every choice and every moment. You're building a life. You can't not build a life. And everyone will face a storm. It will come without trying, without warning. It will come when you're dying. It will come when God brings justice. You cannot face a storm. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and lives them displays heavenly wisdom by building their house on the rock. And anyone who hears these words of mine and does not live them has given in to foolishness by building their house on the sand. Rock, sand, stand, fall. Will you be my disciple?
And when he finished, the crowds were amazed at what he had said to them, but the disciples were amazed by what he did in them.